And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day, Partnership with God. Partnership with God. It even has a soft sound to it. Partnership with God. Yeah. Also, we'll look at It's Out of Hand. Oh, this is getting out of hand. It's out of hand. Plus, remember our place, and then we'll wind it down with credit where credit is due.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. We're not doing politics. We're not doing current events. And I doubt it'll be highly entertaining. We will cover personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's justified radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. The stock market has soared into record territory once again. Banks and other financial companies have led U.S. stocks sharply higher, pushing the Dow Jones Industrial Average above 21,000 for the first time. Silver Bear Capital senior partner Alan Valdez says President Trump gets some credit.
60 Trump since the election, 40 earnings, which have been a little better, jobs numbers, which have been a little stronger. So overall, things are getting a little better. You know, they're trending in the right direction. They're not going off the charts, but they're getting a little better. So that's good for the economy.
The S&P 500 gained 32. The NASDAQ composite finished 78 points higher. President Trump's budget cuts a $600 million state-of-the-art Coast Guard cutter. That's a direct slap at Appropriations Committee Chairman Thad Cochran. Cochran had added the money to a catch-all spending bill that passed in December of 2015, even though it hadn't been requested by the Coast Guard. Organizers say some 50 countries have signed up to attend a family planning conference in Brussels aimed at making up the gap left by President Trump's ban on U.S. funding to groups linked to abortion. The groups are expected to consider pledges from other nations and the private sector to eliminate the impact of Mr. Trump's ban. Also at SRNnews.com, an attorney for the wife of the Orlando nightclub shooter is cheering today's decision, freeing her on bail until the trial.
We believe it's a just, equitable, and appropriate decision that permits her to reunite with her children.
The judge says Nora Salmon poses no danger to the public and is not a flight risk. Experts say a photo circulating online purportedly showing Border Patrol agents arresting someone in front of a business in New Jersey is a fake. The mayor of Morristown, New Jersey, calls it a scare tactic, and he says some Latino residents have been afraid to send their kids to school because of that picture. This is SRN News.
It is our privilege to give everything we have to the one who gave us everything on the cross.
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Tim Gustafson. Young Isaac Watts found the music in his church sadly lacking, and his father challenged him to create something better. Isaac did. His hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, has been called the greatest in the English language and has been translated into many other languages. Watts' worshipful third verse ushers us into the presence of Christ at the crucifixion. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? The crucifixion Watts describes so elegantly stands as history's most awful moment. We do well to pause and stand with those around the cross. The Son of God strains for breath, held by crude spikes driven through his flesh. After tortured hours, a supernatural darkness descends. Finally, mercifully, the Lord of the universe dismisses his anguished spirit. An earthquake rattles the landscape. Back in the city, the thick temple curtain rips in half. Graves open and dead bodies resurrect, walking about the city. These events compel the centurion who crucified Jesus to say, "Surely he was the Son of God." The cross reorders all values and cancels all vanities, says the Poetry Foundation in commenting on Watts' poem. The song could only conclude, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. If you want to reach the shoe, you're welcome to do so by sending an email to davidspoon@kprz.com. Our very first teaching process here. I do want to encourage you to go to kprz.com. Don't forget, you've got the Crazy Price Mall that's connected there, so you can get things at a discount, plus the half-price tuitions, which give you an opportunity to get tuitions at half price. It's like, okay, that's a good deal. I want to talk about partnership with God. Do we have music on this partnership? We do. What do we have?
Howdy, partner. Howdy, partner. Howdy, partner.
What is that from?
I have no idea.
Okay. It sounded at first like it was going to be like a Toy Story-ish thing and then kind of lost me.
It was, I think what it was like an in-between cartoons, like a Saturday morning thing. He was introducing, like, the next cartoon of some sheriff, whatever, cartoon town.
Okay. Or that cartoon was called Partner.
Howdy, partner!
All right. Partnership with God, I want to talk about this. We have a partnership with God. Let's discuss this just a wee bit here, talking about Gideon. Judges chapter 6, verse 14 through 16. You know, I could set the whole thing up and spend 3 hours doing that. You know the story of Gideon. I want to talk about the Lord's encounter with him, what he said and what the Lord said to him. The Lord turned to Gideon and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I'm the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites together." This portion of scripture talks about God and his engagement with you and I and our partnership. For those that are unfamiliar, and this is one of the most wonderful things in bibliology, is we have a incredible partnership with God. The Lord, by the power of his Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit himself, engaged with human beings to write the Word of God, to make a communication. The only way that mankind can be communicated with throughout all the generations was not a recording, was not a television show, was not anything but writing. Writing was the one forum that could go throughout all generations And God, in a partnership with mankind, brought together the Word of God, one of the coolest miracles, if you get into bibliology, just fantastic on the prophecies and the authors and the collectiveness and the thread, the red thread that goes through Genesis and finishes in Revelation. It's a fantastic, unified, incredibly powerful living document. The Constitution is not a living document the way the Word of God is, because God's breath went into the Word of God. It's the same breath that went into Adam that made Adam a living creature. That's the breath that's in the Word of God. That document, that writing, is truly living. And partnership with God is something that the Lord has brought together with us. Sin is what broke the partnership with God in the Garden of Eden when man disobeyed and then hid himself from the presence of God. From that point to this point, in all the things the Lord has done, we need to be aware that we have, from the beginning, and if you will simply look and read Revelation chapter 21 and 22 at the end, and if you look at anything in between those two points, you'll find out that everything we do with God. That there is a garden in the beginning, there's a garden in the middle, and there's a garden in the end, and God wants us to be a part of that garden experience with Him. That's why you get hymns like, "I come to the garden alone." You know, that's part of that process. And we have this fantastic partnership, and Gideon is thinking, "You want me to do what? I can't do this. I am the weakest in my family. I'm the least, and my clan is the least out of all the clans. We're nothing." But the Lord gives him this answer and says, "You know what? I will be with you, and you will be able to accomplish this." So here is something that you can walk through in Scripture. That's what happened with Moses. Do you remember what happened with Moses? Moses was like, "I can't do this. What am I going to say?" And the Lord said, "I'll be with you." And in every case that there has been, watch this, in every case that there has been an advancement of the gospel, what did Jesus say at the end of Matthew in the Great Commission? "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So Jesus says, go. You know that Great Commission? And we've had some teachers on talking about the commission as a twofold part. It's got these different elements. Fantastic. All that's true. Bottom line, you can't do this stuff without the Lord. In the end of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, where it says the Lord worked with them, confirming the gospel with signs and miracles. Some people are like, "Well, I don't know if that's in the Word of God." That's everywhere in the Word of God. That's not only quoted by the second century historians and by Irenaeus and probably the others, but the reality is that God has always been working with man. He always works with us, and through God, we can do everything and anything. Through the Lord, salvation is accessible, and through the Lord, sanctification is accessible, and through the Lord, advancing the kingdom of God is accessible, and proclaiming the gospel is accessible, and obedience to the gospel, and a relationship with God. All of this is our through the Lord. There is everything before you if the Lord is with you and you are doing it with the Lord. That's it. There's nothing else. Part of the problem is, one, half of us do not recognize, not half, but let's say half, do not recognize that there is a partnership with God. For some reason, false religions come in and say, "God wouldn't partner with man. I don't care from the east, then the west, the north, or the south. God's entire premise of man's existence is to fellowship one with another and be in partnership together." So those other false religions with their false prophets and their false scriptures mean nothing. God loves to partner with mankind. He loves to engage with his people. He loves to partner. You go to work and you think you're going to work alone. If God is omniscient, and God is all-knowing, and God is ever-present, and God is ever-powerful, how do you go to work alone? Isn't the Lord there? By the very nature and definition of God, he's a part of that. And what happens is half of us don't think that God is connected with us or in a partnership with us because we don't think we're worthy. That's half number one. Now you want to hear the other half? This is the worst half. Because it's easier to take a person who doesn't believe God's with them and demonstrate through truth that God is. The other half think that whatever they're doing great, whatever they're doing fantastic, they're doing because of themselves. And that's a whole nother problem. So you got one half that doesn't think they're worthy to have the Lord as a partner, even though he's the one that's making the partnership. And then the flip side of it is people think they're too good. And they're doing all this stuff because they're so fantastic. By the way, when Nebuchadnezzar thought he was doing a super fantastic job all by himself, God turned him into a cow. So moo-moo. Okay? Got that? So I want you to catch that God loves to partner with his people. And you're one of his people. And he loves to partner with you. But if you're on the arrogant side of things, you're thinking, I don't need to partner with God. I can do all this stuff myself. I got it. That's okay. Moo-moo. Moo-moo. Because there's only so far you're going to get before you're going to go moo-moo. Trust me, if you don't humble yourself, God is quite able to humble you. What I want to do is when we talk back, when we come back, I think we'll come back instead of talk back. When we come back, I want to talk about how we need to recognize that we're in a partnership with God, but in the midst of that partnership, it's not always in our control, even the partnership itself is out of our hands. So you can either enjoy the ride and relax or bang your head up against a wall and have a very goofy looking head. One of those. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere. Stop that boy, don't let him go.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
This is Michael Medved for townhall.com. Even his harshest critics recognize President Trump's habit of turning obstacles into advantages. In the primary campaign, the fact that 17 well-qualified Republicans ran against him was supposed to make his victory impossible. But it served to divide more cautious mainstream voters while giving Trump an unbeatable edge among all those who hoped a non-politician might deliver dramatic change. Similarly, the fact that pre-inaugural polls showed only a minority with high expectations for Trump's White House could easily work to the new president's advantage. Barack Obama had an approval rating of 81% when he took over the presidency, so there was nowhere to go but down. And he lost Congress in a landslide 2 years later. For Trump, media skepticism about his abilities leaves him nowhere to go but up. And even modest success in achieving some of his initial goals should allow him to exceed expectations and build critical momentum. I'm Michael Medved.
According to a CNN anchor, if you're concerned about what your 12-year-old daughter might see in a bathroom where men are allowed, you are overprotective and intolerant. This is truth itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. CNN anchor Chris Cuomo took to Twitter last week to express his unhappiness with President Trump rescinding the Obama administration's directive on transgender students using the restroom of their choice instead of the sex that they were assigned at birth. Other users began responding to Cuomo's comments. One asked him, "What do you tell a 12-year-old girl who doesn't want to see a male body part in a locker room?" Cuomo quoted the tweet and responded, "I wonder if she is the problem or her overprotective and intolerant dad. Teach tolerance." End quote. With this response, Cuomo implied that any girl who would be uncomfortable with the presence of male anatomy in the girl's locker room was raised by a father who had sheltered her and taught her to dislike people who were different than her. Writing at the National Review, David French called Cuomo's comments, quote, "one of the strangest tweet exchanges I have ever seen." He then used Cuomo's comments to show the dramatic change that has taken place in American society in recent years. He wrote, "Not long ago, if school policies purposefully exposed girls in that way, they'd be subject to a back-breaking sexual harassment lawsuit. Suddenly, however, tolerance looks a lot like indecent exposure, and indecent exposure is what freedom looks like. This is beyond strange." How would you describe your health care? The word affordable probably is not the first word that comes to mind.
Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted healthcare option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. MediShare is not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
And every time you say you need me. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Big shout out to Casey. Hey, Casey, how you doing? Want to let you know we've been talking about the partnership with God. We've been talking about that partnership coming on two different angles. One angle is people that think I am not worthy to have a partnership with God. I appreciate that humility, but, which in the dictionary, but means on the other hand. The Lord desires to have that partnership, loves to work with us. At the same time, there are some people that think partnership with God, why I can do everything because I am fantastic. Which, by the way, is the exact reference to people in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about people in the church that think, I'm not worthy to contribute, I'm not good, I'm not an important body part. Also, in that same text, in that same chapter, the other group of people saying, I'm such a great body part, I don't need anybody else. Interesting how this correlates to that, isn't it? Yes, it is, although I just thought of that. This next section will illustrate how we have a partnership with God. Now, we have some music that's going to go with it. We have a partnership with God, but that partnership is in His control. We don't control the partnership with God. We relax and enjoy the ride of that partnership. But let's play some music and then we'll get into it.
And somebody got control and it was not him. You have lost control. Do you get that?
Do you get that? I want to. Do you understand that? Okay. Let's talk about the way that God communicates His partnership, shall we? Oh, thank you. This comes out of Judges chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Herod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hills of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, watch this, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left while 10,000 remained. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but they're starting off with 32,000 men. Right? And the Lord looks at Israel, looks at Gideon, and says, you have too many men. You've got too much here, because if you get the victory, you're going to say you did it. So I'm going to change this situation. And for those that don't think God changes the situation to make it tougher, you should just read this. And 22 out of 32,000 men leave the situation in the war. They had 32,000, now they got 10,000. So that's over two-thirds of the army disappears. Now that situation looks tougher, doesn't it? And the whole point that the Lord said that is so that they could understand, hey, you're not going to get this victory and take the credit. I'm the one giving you this victory. I'm partnering with you, but we're going to do this my way. So the Lord takes 22 of 32,000 men and gets rid of them. Okay? Now there's only 10,000 left. So you're thinking, wow, the Lord just took two-thirds of the solution away just so He can demonstrate He's a part of it. Right? Why? Because the Lord doesn't want you to think that in this partnership, you control it. He controls it. And if you don't think that is intense enough, perhaps I can take you to the next level, which you shall really rejoice in, which is the next four verses. But the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them there for you. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink. 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouths, and the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other men go, each to his own place. So we need some numbers to understand what's going on here. There were 32,000 men in the army that Gideon had, and they were coming against the Midianites. And the Midianites had 135,000 men. Now, 32,000 against 135,000 is a little better than 4-1. Okay, not bad. But what the Lord does is he takes 22,000 away, and then, because he's so nice, he takes another 9,700 men away, and he leaves 301 men to fight 135,000. Are we getting a clue here? So we went from this 4-1, which was like, well, that's not bad. You know, we could probably win that. That's not too shabby. To now you're at little less than 0.3%. So now it's like, wait. So we went from this 3 or 4-1 to this like 20-some-odd-1 or 25. What is going on? 130 to what is going on here? The Lord took the situation and removed 31,970 men, took it down to 301 men against 135,000 men. Do the math for me if you want to, real quick, because it's like 301 divided by 135,000. We got to get that number because that's the situation that God created in the partnership. I want you just to let that sink into your heart and mind. God created the situation where instead of 32,000 soldiers against 135,000 soldiers, there would now be 301 soldier against 135. So how much tougher is this situation now? That's what I'm asking you. How much more difficult did God make it? I mean, God's the one who did it. God's the one who said, nope, too many people. Nope, too many people. Nope, you're going to go self-glory on me. I'm not going to let you pull that off. I'm going to make sure you know that this was me who brought this victory. Well, Lord, how are you going to do that? I'm going to make this situation impossible. Because 301 men cannot beat 135,000 in the natural. Do you understand that? Do you understand that you're talking about, I mean, just think about, what is it, is 2/100th of a percent? Is that kind of right? Is that in the ballpark? It's like some crazy number, right?
Yeah. I think it equates to close to like 447 to 1.
Okay. So they went from 4-1 to 100 times that. And it's like, wait, what? But God was the one who did it. And this is what people are not getting. Wait a minute, Lord. The situation wasn't that bad. You've entered in this partnership, and you've made it worse. Yes. That's yes. Well, why would God make the situation worse? Because there's no way for 301 to beat 135,000. Why, if you think about that, only a miracle could pull that off. only an absolute breach of the natural physics could pull off 301 beat 135,000. When we come back, we'll take a look. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here on San Diego, California's Christian KPRZ. Take a short break, then we'll come back. Since I turned my heart to you, and I began to praise you, Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
The people of Uganda need the gospel. New believers need churches, and these churches need pastors. I'm Pastor Onesimus Ngoboka, a graduate of Southern California Seminary. I'll return to Uganda to start a Bible school so I can pass on biblical training to other pastors who will start new churches. Whitefields has joined me in this vision to provide support for pastors planting churches in the villages of Uganda. Because Whitefields understands no pastor should be a stranger. They are supporting local pastors to reach our own people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
This is John MacArthur with more Portraits of Grace. The Bible says God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. God has no physical body like us because a spirit does not have flesh and bones. Yet God is also a person. He is not some unknowable cosmic force. In his word, he is called Father, Shepherd, Friend, Counselor, and many other personal terms. God is always referred to as he, never it. He also has personal characteristics. He thinks, acts, feels, and speaks. He even loves. Finally, God revealed himself in human form in the person of Jesus Christ, where all of that becomes visible. If God did not accommodate his revelation to our finite minds, we would have no hope of understanding him. Thank God for the scripture and for Jesus Christ. This is John MacArthur praying you're continuing to be portraits of grace.
It's been my observation over the past 15 or 20 years that the woman who loves her home and family is rather suspect in the eyes of many. Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. One authority writes, "The mother's traditional responsibilities have become matters of disrespect and ridicule. Rearing children and maintaining a home hold very little social status in most areas of the world." Now, I'll tell you, that's a sobering statement. But it doesn't have to be the way we view mothers. We know these women are doing a God-appointed and God-anointed job. Have you hugged your mom today? Do it while you can. Let her know you honor the word mother.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
In my heart there are tears.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Where we've been talking about the fact that sometimes the Lord changes the situation or the circumstance so that it is drastically different and not always in the favorable way we would think it should be done. Sometimes he allows the situation to get to such a place that only a miracle can get us out of the situation. Only a miracle can do it. So you just want to think about that for a second. Like for example, when you are in a situation and you are thinking there is no solution. Now, do we have music for this one? We got some music. We're going to get ready to do that music. Before we do the music, I just want to make sure you understand. It's that difference like between, you know, the Michigan Wolverines and the Ohio State Buckeyes. The Ohio State Buckeyes on the overall win list for college is like 46. where Michigan is number one. It's going to be a long time and a big miracle before Ohio State comes close to a great team like Michigan. So in the meantime, if you're an Ohio State fan, you just got to do your best to hope they can do better than 0 points in a bowl game. That's all you can really hope. But let's play that music. What do you got for me?
All we are is dust in the wind, dude.
That was the dust in the wind you played? All right, so understanding that, we are dust in the wind. Sometimes the Lord in our partnership does nothing but make us go, huh? But he's still in a partnership with us. With Gideon, he had this opportunity to fight with 32,000 men, and then God took him down to 10,000, then God took him down to 300. Tugboat Todd did the math. He went from 4-1 to 447-1 in statistical odds in fighting a war. Do you have any idea how difficult it is for one person to beat 447 people at the same time? Think about that. So sometimes the plan of God calls for the situation to get so far out of hand that from our perspective, only a miracle from God can turn it around. That would be the key line to the entire teaching. Sometimes the situation can get so far out of hand from our perspective that only a miracle from God can turn it around. And that is how the Lord sets it up. So in this portion, we need to remember our place. We need to remember we're dust in the wind. We need to remember we are but a vapor. We need to remember that in this partnership we are blessed to be in, that it comes by the grace of God, through the grace of God, from the grace of God, by the grace of God, and that we exist in it by the mercy of God, from the mercy of God, through the mercy of God, because that's the only way it can happen, which is all centered on the love of God. So you get to a path, you know, it's like if you think about this, it's like you're talking about 300 people against 135,000. You're talking about a small church against a big city. Think about that. In warfare, just in land alone, you just have to be thinking, what? So there's a passage that requires our attention in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Says this, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardship we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Right there? Far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us, and on him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. You know how people will say to you, the Lord will never give you more than you can handle. Wrong. 100% wrong, not scriptural. It says that the Lord will never let you be tempted beyond what you are able to endure. And temptation is not the same thing. Temptation has to do with you being drawn into sin. Right in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul said, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. Paul tells you, we could not take it, way beyond us. So when people go, well, the Lord will never put you through something you can't handle. Wrong. He puts you through plenty of stuff you can't handle so that you can only go to one place, him. And he does it on purpose. And he does it often. And he did it to Israel often. And he does it to people all the time. So that you are at the end of all ropes and can do nothing but go, blah, help me. We just talked about that in the last segment, in the last show, about how in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, or 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, how Jehoshaphat was like, we got nothing. There's nothing we can do. We are out. You're going to have to do something. We can't. And that's when it goes beyond us. Oh, the Lord will never put you through something that you can't endure. He will put you in so many situations where only a miracle can get you out of it, because he's testifying to his grace and his mercy and his power in your life. Don't be surprised by the strange trial that you go through. He does it all the time. You think he just does it to you? You know, well, that never happens to you, right, Dave? Every 30 or 40 hours that I can think of for 40 years. Sometimes I look up to God, and, you know, I do that same thing that you do. I just look up and I go, really? That's the Jewish part of it. Really? It's like, really? And it's like, you and I have to get a hand on this. There's a partnership with God, and it's fantastic, but he controls it. It's up to him how it goes. And you have the Apostle Paul saying, that's far beyond my ability to endure. I couldn't do it. And he even tells you, we felt the sentence of death, but this happened so we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. The reason that we get to this place where there is nowhere to go but to God is simply that exact passage. So we will rely on God and not ourselves. That's why. That's it. We don't have to, it's it. There it is. God wants us to be dependent on him. We have a partnership with him. It's out of our hands, but we need to remember our place in this partnership. It is fully dependent on the Lord. And that's the only way that 301 people can defeat 135,000 people. And that situation, just think of that situation. Right? I mean, it's just, if you're kind of wrap your brain around it. It's like, what? But the Lord allows that, creates that, drives that towards us so that our dependence is fully settled on him. Because every time we depend on ourselves and we think we have the answers, that doesn't come out so good, I think. Me thinks. And so here that the people of Israel are learning, the children of God are learning. The Lord has put us in a circumstance that will require nothing short of miraculous for deliverance. Right. And the reason that God does that is so that you can see the miraculous that God is doing. And then you get all these wild benefits, like God is with me, God loves me, he intercepts things in my life. He helps me to see his power so that when I'm in a bad place, I can trust that his power will come through. He puts me in that place where I can be worshiping. You know, in Gideon's situations, in Judges 7:15, just before they went into the warfare and won, it says that the Gideon heard the dream, its interpretation, he worshiped God. God had put Gideon in such a situation that when Gideon realized it was nothing but in the hands of God and nothing short of miraculous, and then God said, I'm still going to do it, Gideon worshiped the Lord and said, wow, you are incredible. And that's what it means when it's talking about all things work together for good. This is God who organizes this. This is God who coordinates this. This is the creator of the universe. Ephesians 1:11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works everything out in conformity with the purpose of his will. It's our partnership, but his control. And it's like, good. Good. I would rather him be in control. That makes it easier. Now, if I could just learn to let go, I'd really do this partnership right. And I could rest in him and trust in him. That's the big thing. I'm not very good at that in general. But I'm aware that through him I can do all things, by him I can do all things, and because of him I can do all things. That's a big part. All right, when we come back, we're going to close this out understanding that, one, we're in partnership with God. Two, it's out of our hands. Three, we need to remember our place. And four, credit where credit is due. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
It is our privilege to give everything we have to the one who gave us everything on the cross.
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Tim Gustafson. Young Isaac Watts found the music in his church sadly lacking, and his father challenged him to create something better. Isaac did. His hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, has been called the greatest in the English language and has been translated into many other languages. Watt's worshipful third verse ushers us into the presence of Christ at the crucifixion. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? The crucifixion Watts describes so elegantly stands as history's most awful moment. We do well to pause and stand with those around the cross. The Son of God strains for breath, held by crude spikes driven through his flesh. After tortured hours, a supernatural darkness descends. Finally, mercifully, the Lord of the universe dismisses his anguished spirit. An earthquake rattles the landscape. Back in the city, the thick temple curtain rips in half. Graves open and dead bodies resurrect, walking about the city. These events compel the centurion who crucified Jesus to say, "Surely he was the Son of God." The cross reorders all values and cancels all vanities, says the Poetry Foundation in commenting on Watt's poem. The song could only conclude, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I want to let you know if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. At no point when I'm teaching these things am I trying to personally injure anybody but people who are operating in sin or falsehoods, non-truths, or general stupidity. That's all. Second, like that guy that walked by? Oh, that was funny, Tugboat Todd. That was funny. Let's find a way to wind this down. We were talking about partnership with God and understanding that God loves to have a partnership with us, and we appreciate that. In the framework of that partnership, he wants to make sure that we understand that it's not in our hands. A good testimony to that is the Old Covenant, the New Covenant. The Old Covenant, it was in God's hands and in our hands. In the New Covenant, God decided to write the laws on our hearts. It was out of our hands, just in his hands, us working with him as he moves on us, and this covenant lasts forever. See, when God is doing it at the different ends, it always works. So we're talking about that partnership with God out of our hands and recognizing that we are in a certain place in this relationship, but we're a little bit more like the dust than we are like the wind. And we go along as to where the Lord leads us, and we recognize, certainly out of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, when Paul said, we are going through something that is far beyond our ability to endure, that the Lord takes us all the way to the mat, so to speak, all the way to the mat before we sometimes we recognize, hey, this is so out of my hands, it's all you, and I just turn it over to you and you take care of it. In lieu of all of that, there is something we should be somewhat aware of, and that is that credit needs to go where credit is due. Do we have a sound on this? We don't really have a sound on this. Let me just read you this portion. Gideon and the 300 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle of the watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke their jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Judges 17:21. While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. So they used trumpets and jars and shouting. These 301 people used trumpets and jars and shouting to defeat a 135,000-person army. Do you think that's normal? I'm just asking. Do you think it's normal to defeat an entire army that's loaded with weaponry with trumpets, jars, and shouting? That's what they used. It's like, I got a Twinkie, I got a Milk Dud, and I got a Coke, and I'm just going to wipe you guys out. Like, what? But because God is involved in the partnership, God can do anything and use anything. And the wonderful part about this is that every man held his position around the camp, and the Midianites went running out and crying. Held his position means they stood in faith. Ladies and gentlemen, bulldog faith. My son has a bulldog. Okay? Actually, he's got two. One is called Dookie and one is called Dakota. Don't ask. But the bottom line is bulldogs are very, get ready, stubborn. They decide they want to go somewhere. This dog happens to be like 75 pounds, all of 6 inches high. When they decide they want to go there, they go. I'm on the way. Nothing's going to stop me. You put your hand there, they push through your hand. They don't care. They've got this bulldog attitude. I'm coming through. Well, we need to have this bulldog attitude of holding our pattern, holding our position, and recognizing that we need to stand in our faith while the Lord brings the miracle part into our lives. You don't have to do a lot, but you got to stand there in faith, stable and committed. Because a double-minded man, unstable man who's double-minded, got these different thoughts going through of faith and doubt, you're not getting nothing from the Lord. It's those that just stand firm going, God will deliver us in this situation. In that situation that you're in, I could even bet right now, I could write out on a letter 20 of those situations, just general situations, and probably for three quarters of you it would fit the circumstance. And then there's others of you that have a unique circumstance that are just crazy, crazy, crazy stuff, right? But it doesn't change the miraculous power of God to work in your lives. And if you stand firm with a bulldog faith, you will see the deliverance of God, even if he has to use trumpets, jars, and shouting. Because that's how the Lord does it. He does it in such a way as there can be no denying, no testifying to anything other than God is present. Not, there it is. That ding, 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 we have a winner. Ding, ding, ding. Because the Lord wants us to know he's with us, committed with us, in a partnership with us. So we have a partnership with God. It's out of our hands. We need to remember our place and give credit where credit is due. The Lord will rescue his people. He's committed to that. He's committed to this partnership. It's a simple question. Verse 35 of Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You don't just prevail, you get to really prevail in your partnership with God. But stand firm in your faith. Be a bulldog. Watch the deliverance come. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break, and then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.